Welcome to the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Join us every Monday morning. This is where we'll tell you what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We'll keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing, and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here. This week, our special guest is Terry Davis with Popejoy Hall. But before we get to Terry, let's look at what's on the boards and what's on the horizon. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella opens at Popejoy this week on the 4th and runs through Sunday the 7th. The Father opens January 12th at the Vortex and runs through February 4th. Q Solo, the 4th annual festival of solo performances, opens at the Oxdog on January 12th and runs through the 28th. On January 19th, Palabolas arrives again at Popejoy for a single performance. On January 26th, Albuquerque Little Theater opens a three-week run of Wait Until Dark, and the Adobe Theater reopens after a major renovation with its 2018 lead-off show, the smash hit comedy Double Wide Texas, on January 18th, and it continues through February 11th. Auditions coming up include Landmark's Ragtime, January 5th through the 7th. For times and ticket information on any of these events, please revisit the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's website at www.abqtheatre.com. That's abqtheatre.com. And now, let's visit with Terry Davis.
We're going to find out a little bit about his history and about the history of Popejoy and what's going on that brings Popejoy to the Albuquerque community and supports the community in artistic endeavors. So, Terry, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Terry Davis and Popejoy.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different paths that can be taken in this town. We've known each other for longer than we probably want to mention and did definitely go different directions. How did you get involved with Popejoy and going with the university way there?
I was actually working on the university campus in 95 when a position at Popejoy came available, and I had sort of targeted getting a job at UNM with the ultimate aim of getting into a job like there might be at Popejoy, and lo and behold, this job came along, and I said, okay, I'll apply for it. It took 6 months because, you know, it's a university job. And lo and behold, I became the public relations manager. No, publicist. I don't know what my first title was. Anyway, I was involved in public relations for Popejoy when I first started. My first day on the job was to announce that Popejoy, mid-renovation, we were at that point going through the major renovation back in 95, 96, that the renovation would take 2 weeks longer than everyone anticipated. So I got to write that news release and send that out
and answer the questions that came from everybody.
Yeah. So, but that, you know, that was part of the fun. And, you know, I had performed on the Popejoy stage. I directed for the Popejoy stage back in the 80s. So I knew, you know, the old Popejoy, and I was really fascinated. It actually took about 4 weeks before I got to go into the new Popejoy. Mm-hmm. During the renovation, and they took me up literally to the back of the theater, the farthest reaches of the balcony, and that was my first look at what we were getting renovated to. And there was nothing in there but scaffolding and work lights and of the proscenium arch, and they were putting the stage floor down. No seats in the theater, nothing on the walls. And I said, we're going to open in 4 weeks? Really? He's going to...
Well, Well, it was a major renovation.
It was.
As I recall, I was on the on stage. I don't think I've been on stage after the renovation, but I've been there before the renovation. But what it did was, in my memory, it was just really up the level and the exposure and the experience of Popejoy for the various performing arts groups that, that use that facility. Mm-hmm. So how has Popejoy matured and grown since that time into what it is today?
Well, at about the same time we were dealing with the renovation, the structure of Popejoy's finances were also undergoing a change. And that was happening university-wide, really. The Board of Regents had determined that if it was not instructional, or if it wasn't administrative overhead or guidance, and that those kinds of budgets, those entities had to make back their own funds. So there were not going to be any more funds coming from the Unimum Board of Regents or any of that kind of thing to support those entities like the bookstore, parking, housing. There was a print shop on campus at the time. All those entities had to make their own way. So the only, at the time, the only sort of model for that was a for-profit model. And that was all they were going by. And we were going, we're really a not-for-profit over here. And it took about 6 years to convince the university that we should operate under a not-for-profit model and be able to go out and raise funds for Popejoy itself. If we're going to be charged with making back everything we expend, then we have to have that sort of not-for-profit model in place and do that, and they finally agreed. So that's really where it became, and doing that also meant that we had to have shows that were going to have bigger appeal, shows that were going to have longer runs and that sort of thing. And so by 2000, we had actually contracted with Phantom of the Opera. They ran for 4 weeks. That was the first time nobody had ever run for more than a week in Popejoy, and they, you know, we sold the run out. So obviously there was an appetite for Broadway musicals here, and that really became the focus of what we were going to try to bring into Popejoy from that point forward. To say, let's use that as our sort of main attraction every season. And since 2000, we've been doing just exactly that.
And what is the what does the new season look like?
We're mid-season at this point. We've had one Broadway show, Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, just come through. This week, we opened Cinderella, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, and that's the first time it's actually been out on tour, this production. People know it because it's, you know, was started in the 1950s. It's a TV original musical, and then in the 1960s, it was just restaged again. But it had never really been on Broadway until 2013. And so then this tour came out, and so it's the first time coming to Albuquerque. People are very excited about that.
Are we seeing the Broadway, the Broadway talent, or are we seeing a road show?
It's a road show. I mean, you know, the road companies seldom ever include the Broadway talent, really. Mm-hmm. In a few occasions, they had Motown the Musical actually featured some of the cast from the Broadway musical, but in most cases, you're dealing with, you know, they've recast it for the show, for the road, and that's the case. But the original production companies are mostly involved in that sort of thing, and they really watch the quality of their product and are making sure that their companies are really strong. They're really representing the show well. The production well. They take usually the original design out on the road. It may be adapted a little bit, depending on, you know, if they had trapdoors in Broadway, they're probably not taking trapdoors on the road. But for the most part, they do everything they can to make that happen. Phantom actually took its trapdoors on the road. So, you know, they figured out the way to make that happen, and they really watch those companies, the quality, to make sure that everybody's going to have an experience much like a Broadway show.
Right. What do you see as Popejoy's place in Albuquerque now? There was a time when it was another one of the performance spaces for local performing arts groups. And it seems to me there's always been a lot of them. But now there are a lot, and then there is Popejoy that
right.
seems to be off by itself these days. Is that true or not true?
To some degree, yes. You know, that change in financing really changed the model for how Popejoy had to be managed. Our, you know, back in the in 1980, I moved here, and you know, Classics Theater rented here at Popejoy. Akloa rented. I don't know, just Children's Theater rented. There were lots of companies that were renting the Popejoy stage. And that diminished a little bit over time, even during the 80s. But at the point where the financial model changed, that meant we really had to have shows that would bring in major revenue. And that meant we had to bring in the big Broadway shows, because that's where the money comes from. And so that left way less time to allow us to rent space. And just the change in the environment, the change in the situation. And I think ultimately it brings to New Mexico some positive things. Obviously, you know, some people would regard that as a negative. This was a space built for community. Well, that's a hard argument to make, and we can go back into the history and talk about that. But yes, the practice had been for a long time to rent out to the locals, because there weren't that many touring shows. So you got to fill it. And there's nothing more expensive than an empty theater, and so you got to keep it going. And so now we keep it going with these touring shows and the bigger shows. And we think it brings something really unique to New Mexico. Really brings national artists and even international artists to the arts community, and the dialogue for the artists and the patrons here to see something other than what's here, and adds a another layer to what's possible.
There's always, I don't want to say stigma, that's what I want to say, but it's not really, that Popejoy is this thing all by itself and not really part of the activity of the local community. How do you address that?
Well, certainly we're not using the local stage talent to put on the shows that we do on our stage. We are indeed bringing people from across the nation to do that. But we have other ways of participating. Number one, every summer we actually train technicians on our stage at our cost in electrician work, fly rigging, and sound. You can take those classes for free, and you'll be trained in Popejoy stuff, but it's applicable obviously anywhere else in the city. When we bring in our touring shows, especially the musicals, when we can, we get from them master classes, and we take those master classes and we offer them usually to high school students to augment and supplement what they're getting in their high schools, because so many times they're really not getting enough training in theater. So here they get to work with professionals, get to have that opportunity to do that. And then, you know, we see so many of these high school students actually participating in productions around the city. So we're feeding into what's going on in that regard as well. And as I said, our patrons are also part of the dialogue, you know, and that's true for any theater. And so they're coming in and they're seeing our shows in our hall and saying, wow, that was really well designed, or that was really well staged, or I love the choreography, or whatever else they're doing. But they're seeing things that then become possibilities for the companies here. We know that there's a really huge budgetary difference between what, you know, the Broadway musicals in New York can put on the road and what companies here can afford. But that doesn't mean that you can't aspire to the same kind of design surprises and creativity that comes out of, you know, that sparks all that sort of thing. So if you see a show like A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder and say, well, okay, they did everything with video screens, how did they use those video screens? What did they make happen with those things? Were there some surprises out of that? Really kind of cool things actually happened out of that. So what could we do that would not necessarily emulate that, but jump off from that point. So again, that's where I think we try to elevate the conversation or broaden the conversation maybe and bring into that sort of thing. You know, when we had Color Purple here 5, 6, 7 years ago, that was a Tony Award-winning design on the Popejoy Hall stage. Most people didn't get to New York to see that Tony Award-winning design. And then we had 8,000 people who came through Popejoy and saw it.
What is the capacity at Popejoy?
Not quite 2,000.
Okay. So 8,000 over 4 weeks, is it?
It was 8,000 over, in that case, 5 performances.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So quite the capacity then for the local audience.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to have... You know, I often make that comparison. You get to have, in our case... Now we're running 6 performances minimally of all our Broadway shows. We're going to have 8 to 10,000 people from Albuquerque or from New Mexico to in the larger scope seeing these shows. And it takes an awful lot of performances from another company here to have 8 to 10,000 people see one performance. So we obviously make a fairly major impact in the conversations, if you will, in the visibility of what's going on theatrically in town, and that kind of presumption, what people then bring from Popejoy to their next theater experience at the Vortex or 8 ALT or anywhere else in town, is really kind of intriguing notion. And what does that do for those companies? What kinds of things can they then add to the dialogue?
Okay. What does the rest of the season look like? We open tonight this week with a great show.
Cinderella, yes.
Yep, Cinderella. And then what?
In theater, we've got Mom and Shots coming in February. You know, these guys are trained by Jacques Lecoq, and so they have just incredible imaginations. Baskerville, which is a Ken Ludwig adaptation of Sherlock Holmes. 5 people will play 40 parts.
Wow.
Right, on February 23rd, and it's funny also. So that's in there. We've got Chorus Line. It's been a while since Chorus Line's been out on tour, so it's coming in for 6 performances early in March. And then we have The Book of Mormon coming in April, 8 performances of that show, and that's a huge hit in Albuquerque. It sold out completely to the walls last time it was here, and so they're here for another week. Coming up in April. Les Miserables is coming in May, and I've got 7 performances of that show. It always is a favorite of so many, many people. They love that story. King and I is coming in June. It's been a very long time since that's been a production. This is the Bartlett Shore production that was in Lincoln Center. So that's coming through in June. And then way out in October, we've got 2 weeks of Wicked coming back.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, yeah, another... Really big favorite of an awful lot of people.
What's the process you go through in setting up your season? How do you determine which shows to bring at any given time?
The Broadway shows really require, you know, we have to have an open calendar for them because it's a matter of when they can get here. They can't just drop in at a moment's notice. They have to be able to make their tour work. You know, they can't get from... Dallas to Phoenix without Albuquerque sometimes, and so it's a matter of when they can get to us in between all that. So if our calendar isn't open, we don't get that show. So we have to really keep that open, so we book our Broadway shows first. Once they're in place, then we can start working in the Mum and Chances and the Baskervilles in and around those kinds of performances, because they're one performance in those cases. And, you know, some of them are flyouts. Some of them are actually tours. Just depends on how they're actually traveling to get to different places. And we actually go to booking conferences where you can actually sit down and, you know, there's rows and whatnot of tables and booths and whatnot, and you go talk to the agents and say, what do you got?
Speed dating with the agents for Broadway shows?
Pretty much. Well, and less for the Broadways, obviously, but then for the others. But, you know, we've got, for example, Palabolas coming in a couple of weeks. It's a dance company. Well, you go talk to the agents and find out when they could make it through, because they are actually on a tour. They're going busting.
They're a bit irregular here, aren't they?
They've been here several times, and people really enjoy their performances. Right. So, that's a unique company. And then whatever else we can fit in and around, who can fly in, who can make things happen on there,
right,
on the stage.
Here's sort of a personal question. What's Terry Davis waiting to see this year?
Baskerville, actually. I'm really intrigued by that. I think, you know, I like Ken Ludwig's writing. You know, he wrote Lend Me a Tenor and Crazy for You. So he's a really good writer. He's very smart. And to take, well, it's not just five actors doing 40 parts. It's actually three actors doing 38 parts, because Watson and Holmes are steadfast throughout the show in those parts. They don't play anything else.
Right.
So the other three are doing even more work than you might have surmised. So it's that kind of really clever. And everything I've read about this is that the production is really, you know, amazingly fun, because, you know, you want to be in a garden, and a garden drops out of the ceiling onto the stage. There you are. You're in a garden, sort of thing.
And how do they get it back out?
That's part of the surprise, I'm sure. So I'm definitely looking forward to Baskerville to see what that's like.
All right. Well, we look forward to that with you. Once again, this week opens Cinderella. How do we go about getting seats to see Cinderella?
We only sell our tickets through unmtickets.com, and so you can find tickets there. I always suggest to people literally type in the full URL, the full address, because otherwise you're going to get scalper sites. Mm-hmm. And the scalping, by the way, is a problem here now.
Is it?
Not just for Popejoy. I mean, it shows in Popejoy, but there were scalpers out there selling tickets online for the Nutcracker. The New Mexico Ballet Company production of the Nutcracker at exorbitant prices and scaring people away. So if you want to get the real prices and not the stupidly inflated prices that scalpers charge, type in the full address, unmtickets.com, or go to popejoypresents.com, and you'll get the real prices for the tickets.
Very good, very good. Well, Terry, good luck with the season.
Maybe thank
we'll
you.
Talk with you again later in the year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for being with us today.
That does it for us this week. Join us again next week as the Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast will keep you up to date on what's playing and bring you special features like performance interviews and a bit of insider knowledge. Next week's guest is Paul Bauer with New Mexico Young Actors. Until then, go see some live theater. And we'll see you right back here next week.